Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of May, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will be here, too, to look at the cash grain market. He's from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll discuss the weather forecast. There are some hotter than normal periods, and they may be more periodic, at least possibly. Take some of that up a bit later in the program with T-Storm Weather's Mike DeNorm. And we'll discuss, of course, as well today, a bit about the beef industry. That with Chris Hurt. He's at Purdue University out of Lafayette, Indiana, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down 8¾ cents at $3.57¾ in the May. July at 361½, down 5¼, and December contract at $3.77 in the corn pit, 5½ cents lower. March at 388¾, down 5¼. Soy complex May beans 981½, that is, down 9 cents. July at 975, down 7½, and the September at 956¾, 5½ cents lower. November beans 951, down a nickel. January of next year, down 5 cents at $9.57¼. Bean meal at 317.40, 20 cents lower. Bean oil down 44 cents at $32.31. July soft red winter wheat at 472¾, 6½ cents lower on its settlement price for the harvest month. The hard red harvest month at $4.99¾ finished 3¾ cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago in the June at $150 even, down $22.25, and the May feeder cattle at $215.10 were 60 cents higher for the day. Lean hogs finished at $79.75, down 60 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. Download and listen to our programs at your convenience.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. In the crude oil, futures are now trading at $58.89 a barrel. They're $2.04 lower for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.96. That's down 5½ cents. And the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price at $1.98.07, down 4¼ cents. Natural gas, $2.73¼, down 3¼ cents. And ethanol futures at $1.64. Settlement price there, down a penny and 2¢. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands $17,903. That's up about 125 points. Gold at 1181, down 850 for the day, and the dollar index at 94.74. That's up 0.57. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny, a high of 85 degrees. It will be breezy with a south wind at 16 to 20, gusting to 28 for the afternoon. Tonight, a 20% chance of rainfall, some thunderstorms. Those will come after 10 p.m. this evening. Mostly cloudy and a low of 65 degrees. Again, pretty windy at 9 to 14, gusting to 18. And then Friday, a 50% chance of some showers, some thunderstorms. Cloudy and a high of 84, gusting all the way to 16 on the winds in Friday night. Showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy and 64 degrees. Saturday showers and thunderstorms. Saturday night showers and thunderstorms, and a 50% chance of rainfall on Sunday as well before things begin to clear out a little bit, but that won't happen till Monday evening.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the May 7 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan Zwicker is on the phone line. He's at CGP Enterprises. They hail out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about what you've seen in the marketplace this week and your expectations, more importantly, for next week's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates.
Well, I guess my guess is, you know, for the most part, the trade only thinks back 1 year. And, you know, last year, the May report basically put the top in the market. We were basically rallying through April and through the first 10 days or so of May because of the weather delays that we were seeing in the northern Corn Belt. And then the weather kind of broke, and it pretty well said that the crop was going to get planted. Then USDA came out with their what I thought at the time were very lofty yield expectations, but I guess they turned out to be very conservative as the growing season basically was nearly perfect all the way to the end. My guess is they're going to be using some fairly upper-end yield estimates simply because the last 10 days here we've been able to do some pretty rapid planting. So I think they're going to take that into account in calculating their yield. So they're going to probably be using a national average yield, maybe 167 or so on corn. They might even go a little bit higher than that. They might go ahead and use a 46 on the beans, maybe a little bit more. We'll have to kind of wait and see. So I think, you know, the report is going to show that if weather continues to be favorable, we're going to have an adequate supply of inventory a year from September. And for the most part, I think the trade has kind of priced that in. I mean, that's my guess. That's what the trade's been talking about for the last several months is, you know, trend line type yields, favorable weather. We've got the crop basically all but planted for now, the way that the weather pattern kind of turned out this week. If we get rains here behind it, it should help look, you know, crop prospects all look pretty good, and that's kind of where we're at, I think, in the marketplace.
Where do we stand technically at this time?
Well, I think technically we're still trying to solidify the fall lows. We had the fall lows back in early October, both on the front-end beans and front-end corn. Then we had that rally into the end of December. And now for the last 5 months here, we've been basically sliding backwards, erasing part of that gain. Those lows are still in place. So from a technical point of view, I guess what a technician will be looking at on a monthly chart is some place in here if the market would catch and then maybe post some kind of monthly reversal to the upside, and then that would solidify last fall's lows as something much more meaningful than probably what the trade probably thinks at this point in time. So when you look at that broad picture, that's kind of what we're doing is coming back, and we're going to see whether or not we can hold above those fall lows and how the crop turns out here over the next 3 or 4 months.
In the current conditions right now, is there anything that you see that bothers you greatly fundamentally, whether it's greater burdensome supplies someplace else across the planet or some other fundamental function that's happening? For instance, in U.S. In Washington, D.C. today, they're having another discussion about the RFS. This time around, it's just a press conference from the Democratic senators.
Well, I think from a fundamental point of view, the trade still feels that old crop corn stocks are larger than what USDA has on the balance sheets. Now, I don't know if the World Board tomorrow or next week is going to make any downward adjustments in feed usage and add it to carryover, or they'll just take a pass on it and wait until we see what the June stocks numbers are. But I think for the most part, the trade feels that old crop inventory stocks are much closer to 2 billion bushels than what USDA currently has on the books. So, you know, I know the guesses for ending stocks a year from now are somewhere around 1.8 billion bushels. But if you add 200 million to this year's, then next year's ending stocks are going to be 2 billion bushels. So, you know, for the fundamentally, when you're looking at balance sheets that for all practical purposes shows you carrying over 2 billion bushels for the next 2 years, it makes it pretty difficult for the market to get excited about anything. Now, worldwide, overall corn stocks are coming down, but there is still a lot of feed grain substitutions. There's a lot of wheat around. The thing that I probably worry about the most from a fundamental point of view is that South America is to the point where they're basically a year-round supplier of both corn and soybeans with their double crop corn now, and the double crop corn looks like that's going to be a pretty big crop. So that may make it real difficult for us to get any kind of export activity going in the new crop as we go down the road with that large double crop corn crop coming out of South America. Now, the flip side of that, we have had a pretty good decline in the dollar. It looks to me from a technical perspective that that is going to continue to decline. I think that my initial downside target is to fall back to about 90, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised that a longer term we fall back to the mid-80s. Now, that could put us in the hunt again to be, you know, an attractive seller of commodities, but that's going to take some time. Right now, the trade is more focused on raising the crop. Once we get the crop raised, then the trade will focus back to the demand side of the equation and see whether or not we'll be able to get rid of the crop that we raise. So I think fundamentally that's where I'm worried about. The other thing is the Renewable Fuels Act, you know, created a demand for corn, and we basically, for the most part, maxed that out, and we have all these acres into production. And unless we can find a new demand factor to come in, the function of the market will be to try to encourage those acres to go back into pasture or go into some kind of reserve program to get the balance sheet tightened up.
I have another option. I think we should take it up during Commodity Week, and I'll send you a link to watch a YouTube video I posted just today, in fact, although this radio story has aired. It's related to biodiesel and the RFS. Maybe corn consumption or corn acres in the United States could go down, and some of those areas outside of the primary corn belt could be taken up by biodiesel or soy oil or oil-producing crops. With the RFS leading the charge. I don't know whether that's really the case, but I kind of want to discuss it on Commodity Week. I'll talk to you maybe in, 35 minutes or so, and we'll take that up then. All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Love to talk to him, kind of discuss what's been happening in the marketplace, and then to begin really thinking about what might be coming in the future. I hope that helps you out from time to time. Stay with us this afternoon. More to come, and we'll hear a bit about beef cattle, too. That with Chris Hurt. But first, here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Republican from Kansas, and grain industry officials were unusually critical of USDA's performance last summer when the agriculture secretary refused to step in and provide export grain inspection services for 36 days during a labor dispute at the Port of Vancouver. The lack of grain inspection during the labor dispute was discussed extensively at a hearing on the reauthorization of the Grain Standards Act. Roberts offered an apology to grain industry witnesses for the lack of USDA action and said he will have a pointed conversation with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. Vilsack had the power to bring in federal inspectors but declined, saying that he could not assure the safety of the workers. Hawaii lawmakers have put the state at the front of a national discussion over the future of ethanol and gasoline by sending a bill to the governor that puts an end to a requirement that the corn-based additive be mixed in the fuel sold in the state. The move comes as Congress faces pressure to review a federal mandate that calls for ethanol and other renewables in the nation's fuel supply. Hawaii has required a 10% ethanol blend in its gas since 2006. It's not clear whether the governor will sign or veto the bill. The bill passed amid support from a coalition of environmentalists, fuel manufacturers, and poultry farmers who blamed ethanol for cutting into their profits by raising the cost of feed. In day two of the Kansas Wheat Tour, scouts viewed freeze damage, winter kill, drought stress, and disease, especially in the Southwest. The adverse conditions clobbered day two wheat yield estimates, which ranged from zero to highs in the upper 70s. The final yield average announced by tour organizers was 35.5 bushels to the acre for day two. By comparison, the 2014 day two average yield was 32.8 bushels to the acre. Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams says it has traced the source of listeria in its Ohio production facility to a pint filling machine. The company estimates it will spend about $200,000 on changes to make sure it does not happen again. Jenny's announced April 23rd a recall of retail products and temporary closure of ice cream shops in six states after listeria was discovered in some pints and later in the factory. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Now, up next, you know the beef industry stands alone in 2015 in its continued reduction in supplies available to consumers. I'll have more on why it is set apart from the rest of the livestock industry. In 2014, by contrast, was a special year for the animal production industry. It set record high farm level prices for cattle, hogs, broilers, turkeys, milk, and eggs. 2015, it should see much lower annualized prices after the surprisingly fast expansion of the poultry, pork, and dairy industries. Beef stands alone in the continuation toward lower production. This does not necessarily mean the price of beef will remain record high. Live cattle futures are suggesting a return to more normal seasonal price patterns this year. This would mean that while beef cattle have so far traded higher than last year, that pattern would end now, says Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
The futures price tone stays weak through summer, with prices falling to the mid 140s by the end of the summer and then rallying to the low 150s towards the end of the year. With prices so far this year and those projections from futures for the remainder of the year, finished steers would average about $153, which would be a couple of dollars lower than 2014.
That's Chris Hurt's view. However, USDA has a different take. Agency forecasters in the April 9 WASDE report took a much more bullish path, with 163.50 at the midpoint of their annual estimated range. Also of note is that USDA analysts increased the potential range of prices as the year progresses. One reason to increase a price range forecast is because of greater uncertainty, says Hurt.
My judgment is that ultimate prices may be somewhere between these two. Current prices in the high 150s could drop to the very low 150s by late summer and recover to the mid 150s by the end of the year, with annual prices near last year's 155.
One thing seems certain, explains Chris Hurt in his May 4th article on the FarmDoc Daily website. 2014 was an extraordinary year for the animal industries, so comparing this year's prices to last year's prices may bring inherent dangers. The beef industry says is the only one which will not increase production this year and therefore has a reasonable chance of seeing annual price averages near 2014 levels. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is with us. He's at Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Thanks, Matt, for being with us. Last week, you'd finished up corn and you had started beans. How far along are you now today?
Yeah, we got done earlier this week with beans as well. We're feeling pretty good about it. I mean, we ended up no-tilling a significant portion of our beans because we were worried about losing moisture, as a lot of guys are in our neck of the woods. So, you know, we're awfully dry. Most guys are hoping to get a shower, although some guys that aren't done yet would like to have to hold off for a little bit, too.
Hey, on that note, be sure to stay with us for the Ag Weather segment because Mike Tenor, I know, and I've already recorded this, talks a little bit about the periodic heat that we've had since midwinter and what that might mean for the growing season. Okay, so when you take a look at this across your thought process as it relates to marketing beans for the coming year, does it mean you're thinking about being a holder, or are you really still scared about the total supply of that particular crop?
Of soybeans, you said?
Soybeans, yes. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little bit worried, I guess, simply because of the world supply situation. I don't want to have no protection underneath me whatsoever. I've said all along I wanted to have a little bit of room on the upside as well on the beans that we've got protected. But bottom line is, you know, I think that you could still see some weakness of a big proportion if you end up having any sort of a good weather scheme this year, and we have 85 or 6 million acres of soybean.
And for corn, kind of the same scenario?
Well, this corn market, well, pretty much gave me a headache today, but you know, after the reversal there Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you see the market kind of come back a little bit, it gives you a little bit of hope, and then of course we took the wind out of sails today. I think you know, looking at the corn market, I think we need to have some sort of weather premium at some point. I know there's different ideas as to whether we need it or not, but I think that it's going to happen, that we're going to have weather situations. And I know we're having too much rain in some places, not enough in others, but we got to understand that we're probably not going to look at a perfect growing season like last year, no matter what anybody thinks.
In 30 seconds, a quick preview of next week's USDA report.
Well, I think with the USDA report, it's probably going to be, not a huge event. I think people are wondering whether they maybe bump up the yield a little bit due to early planting. I can see them take a little bit of feed demand out for corn due to the flu, and that's about it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett back in 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day. The first sheep were brought to North America by Spanish soldiers under the command of Cortes in 1519. The introduction of sheep into commercial cattle herds of the Western Territories were not well received, causing bloodshed and social division. It's also National Home Brewers Day. Due to a clerical error when Prohibition was repealed with the 21st Amendment, home brewing of beer remained illegal. It was not until February of 1979 when President Jimmy Carter signed a bill repealing federal restrictions on the home brewing of small amounts of beer. On this day in agricultural history in 1660, Isaac B. Furbein of The Hague reportedly received a patent for macaroni. In 1847, delegates to a national medical convention in Philadelphia approved a resolution that established the American Medical Association. Early goals include launching programs on medical ethics as well as improved public health. And in 1925, William Lever died. In 1886, William and his brother James formed the Lever Brothers Soap Manufacturing Company. It was one of the first companies to manufacture soap from vegetable oils instead of tallow. By 1900, the factory was producing a number of well-recognized brands, including Lifebuoy. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather joins us to discuss the forecast for the Midwest. Other parts of the globe too, probably, but let's stay right here. We put an awful lot of corn in the ground really fast across Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Indiana, the five primary corn-producing states. Last week, farmers still moving really well this week, though there was a little delay with some rainfall. What do you think about the weather patterns at this time? What are they telling you about the beginning of the season and maybe going forward?
Well, the most interesting thing that we're seeing is that it's been unusually warm at times over the last 3 to 4 months in little spurts. We initially had a spurt in late January where temperatures across the plains soared to all-time records in parts of Nebraska and Kansas. And then we saw another bout of unseasonable warmth in February, and again in March, and again in April, and right now. And so you kind of have a history here of unseasonable warmth. Even though it will stay warm right now, and it turns notably cooler for several days early next week, this same pattern that we have at the moment generates again once we get into the last half of next week, and really beginning around the 15th of May. And if we end up with this really warm pattern again, and then that lasts into, let's say, the end of May, all of a sudden you have to say to yourself, well, what if this happens again in June or July or August? We know that corn and soybean yields are highly correlated to temperatures throughout the heart of the summer. And so if this pattern doesn't start to break at some point in the next 6 weeks or so, it will become a concern. Now, that's still 6 weeks away, 8 weeks away, maybe even 10 weeks away. And we don't have a magic crystal ball, so we can't say exactly what's going to happen come midsummer. But this is something that we're watching. We do find it interesting. And we've seen this type of thing before, where you get in a pattern that lasts for a period of many months, and then all it has to do is last a relatively short period of time, and it's affecting the key summer months. So that's something to keep an eye on. But again, we don't see any real reason to think that that would just continue, except for that we keep seeing it recur. We don't have any specific reason to say, yes, this is going to last. Just the observation that it is lasting is at least a clue that you need to keep an eye on it, and that'll be something that we'll certainly be following in the coming weeks and months.
I think this is what you might term as a persistent pattern, and we have had many times over the years persistent patterns, but normally we would talk about this as a wintertime really cold effect as opposed to a summertime warmer than average effect. Is there a difference between those two seasonally?
Well, there's not a lot of correlation between winter weather and summer weather. That would be the main argument we would make. So even if you have perfect knowledge of the winter weather, which we actually do right now, we can go back and look and see what happened. And we can go back in other years and see what happened in the winter. But just because we know what happened there doesn't really tell us much about the summer. Leading into the drought of 2012 was probably the most interesting situation, where it had been warmer than average across most states in the Corn Belt. Every single month from October through April, we got to May. Right now, it stayed warm, and then it stayed warm in July. And that was really what turned out to be the huge drought. We don't have that type of scenario in place right now. But again, we can argue that we've seen this bubbling up from time to time over the last 3 to 4 months. So warm weather is definitely something to monitor later in the summer.
Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Our thanks to him for joining us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.